0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and we're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. Mandy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you keeping?
Well, not too bad.
As well as having, I think you've a baby in your arms there, have you?
He's gone into the, I put him into the walker there, he's
okay,
all right.
Okay, yeah, brilliant. Well, as well, you're employed as a carer. There's a wonderful, wonderful cadre of people in so many locations around the country doing such good work. But you got an email from your boss. What was the new good news about the pay, already inadequate, that carers get at the end of the day?
Well, the good news was we did get a rise in June, July, and they gave it with one hand, and in the other hand, then we got an email on Monday to say that now, because we got the rise, that we will be, how do I word it, cancellation. So if the client cancels within 24 hours, we'll get paid for it.
Okay.
Now, they've reduced that to 8 hours, and we'll only get paid 50%.
So you could wake up of a morning, have your week organised, and you can wake up of a morning and you're due to do, say, a 4 o'clock or a 5 o'clock shift, and you have an email overnight saying the 4 o'clock shift is gone and you won't be getting paid for it, you'll be getting paid half.
Yeah, well, if it's overnight, no, we won't get paid at all. But if it's that morning,
oh, you won't
get paid.
Okay. If you're told about it, give us the time limits again. Within 20, if it's, you have a shift tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, okay?
Yeah. If they had a rang the night before, we would have usually got paid for it, because it used to be within 24 hours.
Yeah.
But now, because they've reduced it to 8 hours, we only get paid for within the 8 hours, and it's only 50%. So if I got paid €8 for a half an hour, it's reduced to €4.
Mother of God. Now, say your shift is at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Say it's for half an hour, and they contact you or send you a text or whatever at midnight tonight to say it's cancelled. How much will you get?
Well, they won't. They only text you up to 10 o'clock at night. Because
okay.
Then,
okay.
So the office, the out of hours office phone in Air Job would be till 10 o'clock in the evening. So if they text us at 10 o'clock to say Mary doesn't want her call at 9 in the morning, we won't get paid for that, because...
At all?
It's more than... No, because it's more than 8 hours.
Oh, mother of God.
Only if it's within the 8 hours, do you know what I mean?
And what was that previously?
24 hours.
Okay, so everywhere we go, every booking, every restaurant, if you're lucky enough to be able to go to a restaurant, every holiday, everything you book. I was looking at something this morning, and it said absolutely no refunds. In other words, everywhere is cancellation policies. But the cancellation policies normally say 72 hours. And if you cancel within 72 hours, we'll give you your money back. But your cancellation policy is, if your client... And by the way, you might be only doing a half hour. Is that correct?
Some calls,
I know. And what do you... And anyway, what do you normally get paid for a half an hour? Much as a half an hour. Eight quid, did you say?
€8 for us. €8.50 the weekend.
How do you survive?
Now, I'm one of the lucky ones. I have plenty of calls. I'm never short on calls.
Okay.
But if this thing is coming through from the HSE, which in turn, I do get a couple of cancellations here and there, which is going to bring the wages right down.
Yeah,
anyway.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And then there's some people that only do 4 calls a day, 5 calls a day. And if they have cancellation, you know, we've no set wage anymore. We really, it's kind of just, I just feel like they're picking on the people that do all the hard work on the road, which we do good work. We're keeping clients out of hospital.
You do incredible work. You're doing incredible.
And what's going to happen? Yeah, thank you. But the hospitals are going to be overrun again because if carers can't survive on the wages there, people are barely surviving as it is. So if they cut this down then to take 50% off your cancellation, you know, it's like, I'll use one example. There's some shifts there from 7:30 in the morning till 5 in the evening. And that's with one person. So if that person cancels, they've lost 50% of their wage for that whole day, like, you know.
And then if they, you know the way you have your run, and so I know a lot of cars are running from one bus to another if you don't have a car, and then even if you do have your car, the allowance you get for a car, if they allow you an allowance, so to speak, is a pittance. But if one of those, say, five calls is cancelled, you're on the road, and now you're going, anyway, it completely messes up your routine. But you're saying if one of those calls is cancelled, and it's cancelled within 8 hours.
Within the 8 hours, we'll get 50%.
Yeah, and outside
what we should have got.
If it's longer than 8 hours of cancellation, you get zero.
We get zero. That's correct. Yeah.
That's beyond a joke.
Like, as it is, we don't get much even for petrol allowance.
I know. We've done it so many times here, so many times.
We get 10% petrol allowance. Like, you know, it's hardly worth even talking about, but. Again,
and
we won't slip our nose, Eric.
And Mandy, is this shift, is this change, this dramatic change in your income, another dramatic drop on an already low income for carers, is this change initiated by the HSE or by the company, the agency you work for?
It's across the board from the HSE. It came in on the 14th of this month. Now, I was only informed of it on Monday. Mm-hmm. But it came in from the 14th.
Oh, it's already in?
From the HSE. It's in and all, yeah.
No buyer leave,
no warning. Nothing. I got an email on Monday night at about 9:15, give or take, that this was happening.
And are you talking among yourselves about it, the other carers?
Well, I don't see any other carers because I'm out on the road most of the time on my own.
And that's part of the reason why there's not a strong enough voice for carers, because you're all working away really hard on your own. It's not as if you all meet in the one place every day and sit in a canteen and can be talking about this, that and the other. Yeah.
That's why I said I'd ask you to air on your show to see what other people are feeling about it.
Yeah, yeah. That is shocking. But see, every time you ask the HSE say we pay agencies €30 an hour for carers. Now, obviously, the agency has to take their cut, but it seems an enormous cut. And then, if you're working directly for the HSE, I know they do employ some carers, you'd be paid much more.
Yeah.
So you have the worst of both worlds.
Well, and I think we're, like, their company is probably one of the lowest paid now, to be fair.
Is it, yeah?
Just all the companies, there's different companies, and they're all the carers are all on different rates, and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So we all do the same job, but we're all on different rates, and air company, I know for a fact, air company is one of the lowest rates. Like, I've no problem saying we get paid €8 a half hour and we get paid €14.70 for a full hour.
And I know you obviously love your work, as all the carers do, but have you thought about getting a different job, Mandy?
Well, when that email came in, I was saying to myself, yeah, I'm going to have to start moving to a job that pays more money, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to be taking more cuts, obviously I'm going to need something that will pay a little bit more so it'll balance out, you know what I mean?
And I'd say there's very few jobs that pay less than what you're being paid with those conditions.
That I don't know now, but...
With those conditions. So the minimum wage is nearly 12, just around €12. Where's Mary? Mm-hmm. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Mary here.
Well, you're listening to Mandy.
No, I was just saying that I did that job for 7 years and I did like it. I was a home help. I wasn't a carer. I used to look after a lot of people with Alzheimer's or different things, and I judge it a half an hour in the morning. But like that, if somebody in my boss might ring me and say, look, so-and-so's gone to hospital or so-and-so's gone into respite, so I wouldn't get paid for it. So my hours are kind of down. And this went on for the last year or so. And, I mean, starting off, I was lucky. I got 12 euros an hour and I had no fee tax level 5 and level 6. And now to have to have all those qualifications, I can understand, yes, for a carer as such, but for someone who's doing home help, like, you know, a bit of lunch, a bit of breakfast, tidy up, that kind of thing. Don't need fee tax level 5 or level 6.
You know? And above all, contact for the person you're caring for. Why did you leave?
Well, I got another job came up and I'm working 3 mornings a week now for at least I'm getting paid every week. And I know and I can work a little bit more if I want to, but a totally different job. It's not home help anymore, kind of bar work.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I mean, I think the carers should get paid at least 14, 15 euros an hour. Doesn't matter when they're working because...
Yeah.
I mean, I've met people working for one company and, you know, they get paid 5 euros for a half an hour. Then they're running around like lunatics.
My God.
Yeah. Running around like lunatics trying to get the next client. And if they're not there on time, somebody from the office is ringing them.
Yeah.
Where are you? You have to be here. They have to clock in, clock out.
Clock in, I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to you in a sec, Mary. But Mandy, do you get many cancellations?
Well, on a Sunday, I just usually have 3 half-hour calls.
Cancelled?
Out of the day, so, yeah.
And they're cancelled because what the family are going to call over.
It'd be a family day, and then you have the family in. So at lunchtime, it'd be more lunchtime where the family will get them a bit of lunch and whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, like that, like Mary said there, like some of them could be going to hospital or for appointments or, you know...
But it means, but Mandy, it also means that you can't plan your week. Should you say that baby there is your child or your grandchild? But if you were looking after a child, regardless of who it is, or helping out somebody, you can't plan your week. Sure, you can't.
No, you can't. Like now, I know my roster. Actually, I just tell the job I'm available from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. So, but I could be sitting at home and. 2 hours of that probably waiting because, you know, the cancellations are there. So you go home. I'm lucky I only walk around the local area.
Yeah.
I can go home, but other people can't.
Well, I've met
Carol. That's the other thing.
Mary, yes.
Yeah, sorry. That's the other thing. I mean, I remember when my mother was alive, we used to get this girl coming in and God love her. She had to bring her child with her because she had no one else to look after the child. And she would get the bus here and the bus there. I mean, it was just mad. And then, you know, most of the carers were good, but my mother had cancer, unfortunately. And I remember getting this girl in, and she hadn't a clue what she was doing.
Yeah.
Hadn't a clue. You know?
And then...
I do a TV check. Level 5. I've done all this to training.
I'm
6 years doing it now at the moment. I'm going into my 7th year. And I do love it. I wouldn't like to leave it to do something else, but... If they keep pushing us, we still have no choice. Because we still have bills to pay, you know.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I remember another girl I knew, she used to come up from Wicklow. And I mean, like that, she had no petrol allowance. She worked for this company, you know, half an hour here. I mean, people ringing up, where are you? And, yeah, I mean, I think it's terrible. I have another friend who has MS and she doesn't get very much help at all. And, you know, the carers, you know, she keeps getting different people in all the time, which drives her mad because she has MS and she needs the same people in. I mean, you know that yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to like it. I mean, I love old people. I love helping them. And I used to look after them as well. And, I mean, there was one lady I had and she had Alzheimer's and I was with her for about 3 years. And when I left, say, 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning, she'd go off about 9:30 for a walk around by herself and the neighbour's trying to keep an eye out for her.
Yeah.
And she had Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And then you hear...
And then,
sorry, Mandy. Go ahead.
You could write a book on it.
You could actually, yeah. And then, like you say, the HSE, it's all over the news. The hospitals are overcrowded. They're trying to keep people in their own homes, but then they're not paying carers to go in and look after them properly.
Very good.
They're bringing in these cuts left. Like, because I was told in my email, because I got a rise in June or July, whichever June I think it was, this is why the HSE has brought in this, these new terms and conditions. And I'm kind of like, so they gave it in one hand and they're taking it back in the other hand. It doesn't make sense.
So what, they be the HSE begrudged you a rise? So they took it back with the other hand?
Well, obviously, if this is what they're bringing in now.
Yeah, but those figures and those conditions, Mandy, are like sound like something from 100 years ago.
It's going backwards, going forward.
Okay. The phone number is 0818 715 815 joe@rte.ie. 51551 is the text number. Mandy, look after yourself, and thanks again for your incredible work and all the carers out there. But that doesn't butter any parsnips, does you? But anyway, hopefully we'll get a response, and Mary as well. Joe@rte.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe@rte.ie. Siobhan Cunningham. Siobhan, another very, very disturbing story. Your daughter, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking the call. I got in touch with the show this morning because a friend had told me about the woman you had on yesterday talking about her son in Bulgaria.
What
happened to him.
This was Anka. Her son was in Bulgaria, Oisin, with a group of pals, kind of post-leaving cert, that age group. They're in Golden Beach in Bulgaria. The receptionist in the hotel gave them vouchers or whatever for a nightclub, went to the nightclub, great atmosphere, got talking to, obviously, a few young women, and Oisin went outside. And the next thing he remembers, he was drinking at the time, as his mother said, but it looks like to us and to her that there was something in the drink. And he wakes up about 9 hours later in what looks like a small hospital room with three beds, two people dressed in white, one male, one female, blood on his T-shirt, even though he had no injuries himself, and a drip in his arm. But nobody knows why he got the drip. He said, Where am I? And they said, you're in a private clinic in Golden Beach. It's very straightforward. They took out the drip and they said, we will bring you back to your hotel, put him into a dingy minibus that obviously wasn't an ambulance of any description, brought him back to his hotel, and the chap in the white coat who said he was a doctor said, we now want €2,000 for the treatment you've got. And they said, we picked you up on a beach. You were unconscious. We looked after you. You were very drunk, very difficult. €2,000. And that's where the odyssey, if you can call it that, began. What happened to your daughter, Siobhan?
She is interrailing at the moment. She's not back until the end of this week. So she and two friends went interrailing. This is the third week.
Okay.
And they started off in Budapest, and then after that they went on to Bled in Slovenia.
Okay.
So last Monday night they were in Slovenia, staying in a hostel in Bled, and they went to the bar in the hostel that evening for a drink, and there were a big group of other, mainly English and Irish young people.
Yeah.
They said that the bar across the road was meant to be a good bar, so they went across there, and she said they had a drink, I think, in the hostel, and then I think she was saying they had a vodka and orange juice shot in the bar, but they hadn't had a lot to drink.
Okay.
But she went to the bathroom at one stage and she started to feel really unwell.
Okay.
So she said she couldn't breathe. She felt like she couldn't breathe. She was hyperventilating and she was really dizzy and was seeing double. She found it really hard to focus, really hard to see. And because she's still away, I've had conversations with her about this, but I'll obviously speak to her more when she comes back. I didn't want to dwell on it since. Yeah. But then at some point afterwards, one of her other two friends started to get symptoms as well. So thankfully, the security in the bar, I think mainly because they said her pupils were so dilated, apparently her eyes had gone black. and they wanted them to be taken to a local, I think it's a clinic. She said it was a small place. It wasn't like a hospital, but it was a clinic. Mm-hmm. So both of them were put on drips for about 2 hours. And luckily for them, the third girl wasn't affected. So she was able to ensure that they were okay. She stayed with them at the clinic. And they were being repeatedly asked what they had taken. And they hadn't taken anything, so they kept saying, we haven't taken anything. But the staff didn't seem to believe them, which is understandable because people do take things, and I understand from a treatment point of view they need to know. But they insisted to them, we haven't taken anything. They tested them apparently for fentanyl, and that came back negative.
Okay.
But they said they couldn't test them for anything else. So after a couple of hours there on drips, she was not able to see anyone in the hospital properly. She said her vision was blurred. She was seeing double of everything. And she went home with her friend and her other friend who was looking after them in a taxi. And before they went home, actually, they had a bill, I think, of €600 between the two of them. So I guess €300 each. So their friend who was looking after them, she paid that out of her money. And she brought them home, back to the hospital, and they went back to bed for a while because I think it was like 5 a.m. by the time they got to leave the clinic.
Yeah.
So the next day, she still wasn't feeling that great. She was really nervous about ringing us because she was afraid that we would think that she had taken something. But she obviously realized that she needed to let us know. So she initially rang her dad, and then she rang me later in the morning and told me what had happened. So, I mean, I got such a shock. It was her first time going away for this length of time. She just turned 20 in the summer. She just finished her first year of college. So it was a big trip, and I was apprehensive like any parent. But when I heard that, it made me even more worried because I wasn't there to make sure she was okay. But she assured me she was feeling fine. She doesn't really know whether she got spiked by something, like as in a needle, or whether it was in a drink, or because we had been aware of this. It has happened here in Ireland. We had spoken to her about not leaving drinks unattended, being really vigilant, not leaving each other, staying together as a group. But so afterwards, I kind of thought, well, is this something that happens? And I was looking up online to see if there were other incidents in that area. I couldn't find anything. But I did see other things about other places where people had been offered drinks outside bars, free drinks to come into the bar, and had woken up a few hours later to find they'd been robbed. So I feel like something was put into a drink or something happened. They were lucky that their third, you know, one of the three girls wasn't affected and was able to look after them. But I do wonder what was the end game in that situation.
Well, do you wonder about the clinic?
No, I don't think so. Not at the moment until I heard yesterday.
Well, hang on. Did they ask for her travel insurance or health insurance?
They did, and she didn't give them. So before she left, they hadn't applied for the European Health Insurance Card, but we have insurance covered through an insurance company here in Ireland, and we had called them and made sure that she was covered. She didn't give them the number initially because she was in such a panic that they would ring us and that we would be worried and we would think she had taken something. But I mean, we will, she has a receipt and she's going to.
And did you Google the receipt? Did you Google the, remember Anki?
No.
We'll do that in the next few minutes if you can. Remember Anki yesterday, she demanded, they were looking for two thousand. They demanded it there, and then she took over the call from Dublin, and Anki said to them, well, I'll send me the bill and we'll send it to our insurance company. That's the way it's done. He then reappeared an hour later in reception of the hotel. This guy was determined to get those thousands of euro. He appeared in the hotel with an invoice and a bill, which he refused to hand over. But luckily, and very smartly, Oisín, one of his pals, took a photograph of the bills, sent it to Anki. Anki Googled, Google Translate, Googled the addresses, Googled the email, all bogus. All bogus, or didn't exist, or didn't exist. Anki's thesis is, and it's borne out by 90% of evidence, is that her Jonfla's drink was deliberately spiked. That whoever deliberately spiked the drink knew that he'd be groggy, to say the least, outside. They got some of their buddies. This is obviously pre-planned. They got their, some of their buddies to arrive, and O'Shune was put into a, as what did Anka call it? It was a van. He remembers this from the second one. He was brought to this premises, which is obviously not a hospital, where they put blood on his T-shirt to give the impression that he'd been injured, which he hadn't, or he had injured someone else, more importantly. They put a drip into his arm, which is so dangerous, especially if you don't need it. But it's very straightforward doing it. And the chap was groggy and unconscious from the spiked drink. And then when he woke up in this room, he said, with three beds, not a surgery, anything like it, he said, "Where am I?" And they said, "Oh, you were drunk on the beach. The ambulance was called. We had to get you. We've looked after you. You were a really difficult patient. We'll take you back to your hotel." By the way, they didn't say what they were treating him for with this drip. And put him back in this minibus, which had seats in it, and a stretcher, like an army stretcher, on the floor. There's some 2023 medical equipment. They brought him back to the hotel, and the medic, Maria, brought him up to his room and said, "When you're ready, lads, €2,000. And he was so persistent. But anyway, that's the situation that they're in. You don't think the clinic was...
I don't know. It wouldn't have crossed my mind till I heard Anka yesterday, and that would be an element in it, in the scam and whatever they were trying to do. I will be checking it. I had asked. So afterwards, when we got through that day, they were moving the next day to Croatia, and they were spending 4 days there, and they had a fantastic time, and they're now in Venice. So our thing was, okay, we'll talk to her about all this when she comes home, but we didn't want it to overshadow the rest of her trip.
Of course, I understand that.
By asking loads of questions or asking her to send the receipt or making a big deal about the money, we reimbursed her so she could reimburse her friend through Revolut. Yeah. But she has the receipt, and I did get on to her earlier today when I spoke to your researcher, because he had asked me, you know, if I could get a copy of it. She does have it in her rucksack, but they're touring Venice today, and the rucksack is back in the hostel.
Yeah.
So when we do get that, we will definitely be checking it out then. My feeling afterwards was, this is something I feel like people should know about. It happens everywhere. It happens in Ireland. It's not one country. But just, you know, it's something else to be aware of, that there's different scams. It's not just getting spiked, you know, so somebody can take advantage of you there. And then there could be a bigger scam at play. And the more information you have,
and another opportunity, Siobhan, to remind parents of the scam, which we've been talking about for well over a year now. You get a text on your phone, "Mom and Dad, hi, this is your daughter." They never give a name. "This is your daughter. I've lost my mobile phone. Can you text me on this phone?" And they text the phone, say, "How are you?" And you say, "My phone is lost. I need money. Yeah. Can you Revolut?" Anyway, so it's a way of scamming money off parents. Okay, Siobhan, I'm glad she's safe and sound anyway, and I hope they enjoy the Venetian delights. That's Siobhan Cunningham. Thanks indeed. But from Venice back to Dublin, North Dublin and The Hunt. I was at the Abbey last night at the Plough and the Stars, the Druid production. Absolutely incredible. You know, as you know, they're putting on the trilogy. The Plough and the Stars, Shadow of a Gunman, and Juno and the Peacock, O'Casey's masterpieces. Now, unfortunately, they're all sold out, and I was half hoping that if someone could put it anyway, I know it's difficult, an audio recording of it or something. And I know we have somewhere in our vinyl vaults here, we have recordings of the three of them with such incredible actors like Cyril Cusack, Brendan Caulfield, Donald McCann, and it'd be great to hear them again on our radio, or even for RT to make them available. And maybe when we bring the RT Radio Museum to Dublin for 2026, we can show people, because somebody told me they were working in a shop and somebody came in with LP recordings of the three radio dramatisations of O'Casey. But anyway, I'm in Dabby last night, and talking to a good few people, obviously, on the way in and on the way out. And there's only one topic that they were interested in. "Did you find the keys? Did you find the keys?" And people who hadn't been listening to Liveline said to me, did you lose your keys? And then I had to explain about Denise, Monday, 90 days ago, keys lost somewhere in taxi, Toyota Prius. She has a ping, ping, ping and her tile, tile, tile and her app, app, app. And she can track her keys over the most well-travelled keys in the world at this stage. Still no sign of them, unfortunately. And in fairness, the taxi driver wouldn't know that the keys are in the car because it doesn't ping in the car because of the distance. But anyway, yesterday, Denise's keys went to went from Leixlip. They seem to start every day in Leixlip or Maynooth. So that's, we believe, the home place of the taxi driver. It went from Leixlip to Setanta Place here in the centre of Dublin, out to Black Rock, back to Stephen's Green, then to Lucan. And so far today, there have been no pings. So the taxi driver, where the keys are lost, unbeknownst to him, is on a day off, a well-deserved break. So maybe if you're on your day off and you have a Toyota Prius and you've been working in Dublin the last 3 months, would you just, I know you clean your cab anyway, but would you have a good look under the passenger seat or a good look down the back of the rear seats behind the passenger or elsewhere to help find those keys. Joe, and by the way, there's a BMW fob on it. That would help identify them. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. And in 2 days' time, we will be in the Titanic Hotel in near enough to the centre of Belfast for our monthly Funny Friday. Loads of giveaways, loads of fun, loads of comedians, and above all, a good bit of crack in the times that we live in. You're all very welcome. And of course, it's absolutely, totally, completely free. And I'm hearing the ad on the breaks there for Hidden Assets, the RT drama into Cathy Belton, wonderful in it. Second series beginning next Sunday night on RT1 television at 9:30. Well, the programme after that is called The Meaning of Life, but it really should be called Hidden Assets 2, because that's what I'm trying to get out of the interviewees, their hidden assets and their hidden stories about what they think and believe and experience as the meaning of life. That's on at 10:30 next Sunday night, RT1 television. And the first one, the 100th edition, is next extended interview about life and times and a lot more besides, with the former Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin. Now, I mentioned earlier in the promo with Louise, and Louise immediately remembered it because she's from the west of Ireland, the holiday capital of the world. And she remembered when you used to go into a shop when you're on your holidays in Salthill or Bray or Killarney, or whatever you're having yourself, and you could buy a stick of rock with the name of the location, the holiday spot, not just on the label, but actually stenciled through the actual rock. And you buy four or five of them, they were pink, and you bring them home as presents, as gifts. And we had a caller saying she's getting married soon and she would love to give out sticks of rock, but she wants her name and his name, is a he on this occasion, her name and his name in the stick of rock. Don't ask me, because of the memories they have. Okay, now, we discovered through that promo that there's a man called David Crilly, and he's the son of Peter Crilly, and Crillys make rock. They're rock stars. David Crilly, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. Hiya, thanks for letting me on.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good. How are you?
And now, does the cap fit? Do you make this rock? What do we call it? Sticks of rock.
That's right. Yeah, sticks of rock. Yeah, the traditional holiday rock, we call it.
Holiday rock. And do you make many of them?
Yes, we make thousands per day. Yeah, we do. In the high season, we make quite a lot. Yeah.
And can I still get a stick of rock, holiday rock, with the name of the location through the centre of it?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we do for all of the sort of the larger locations. Name of the town or the resort in the middle.
Okay, well, tell us, David, what you make the rock from, the holiday rock from, and how do you get the name of the resort through the middle?
Well, it's made from sugar and glucose.
Okay.
It's boiled to a high temperature, up to 140 degrees in copper pans.
Yeah.
It's poured onto large steel tables, which have cold water running through the table to start the cooling process.
Okay.
It's then coloured and flavoured on the tables, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, the candy starts to drop in this temperature, and you're able to handle it.
Okay.
It's then lifted into a batch roller, and it starts to then look like a large stick of rock inside the batch roller.
Okay.
It's then pulled down a large table, which one of the staff members then rolls the rock on the table, so it's like a 5 meter length of rock down the table.
Yeah.
And after about another 10 minutes or so, it becomes sort of brittle and hard. So we use a giant pearl scissors to then chop the rock into the size that the customer's ordered. It's then hand wrapped in cello with a label placed inside the rock while we're wrapping it.
But how do you get the name into the middle of the rock?
That's a trade secret.
Oh,
so
John,
I can't divulge that. But
how did Jacob get the figs at the fig rolled? How did Crillies get Killarney into the centre of the rock? We will never know.
You'll never know. It's a trade secret. It's a trade secret.
And
we're one of the very few you know.
Okay. And who came up with that idea, do you know? Was it your father?
My father worked in England for back in the 60s. He moved to England for work, and he had learnt the trade over in Blackpool. So he then took the trade back with him to Newry and began making rock in sort of the early 70s. And it just started from there.
And are you, Crillies, the only rock makers in Ireland, on the island?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
We are, yes.
So is the business growing or slowing?
I wouldn't say it's grown, Joe, in the last number of years. We've sort of diversified off, but we're now manufacturing mostly hard-boiled sweets like your rhubarb and custard and pear drops, things like that, mint humbugs, which we do in our own brands, or Crillies Sweets brand, or the Mr. Crillies brand. So it would be the most part of our business. The rock is very limited, obviously, to seasonal tourist resorts throughout Ireland.
But how long?
So,
well, what about this,
a small part of our business.
This request from this couple? No, I'm not putting in the request. I'm not paying for it. This request from this couple, could we get like 200 holiday sticks, rocks, for our wedding, as we used to get when we were on holidays, but with both our names through the centre of the rock? Is that possible?
It is possible, yes, as long as our names aren't too long.
Okay. Let's say Oisín and Jessica.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay, yeah. Now, have you ever been asked for that?
We have, yes.
It's
a difficult because the smallest sort of batch you can do is about 1,000 sticks of rock.
Oh,
but
is it?
We have done it for people in the past, and we're able to do it as possible, yes.
And David, is there any... What is the most unusual, if there is one such a thing, what's the most unusual name you've been asked to use, you're using your secret method to get the name through the centre of the rock?
The most unusual name?
Yeah, I presume it's all primarily Killarney, Salt Hill.
It's mostly, town names are resorts, you know, that'd be sort of your knock, if you do a lot of rock for Knock, for Killarney, for...
Oh, there is Knock Rock, is there?
There is, yeah. It's one of the bigger ones that they buy rock still.
So what's written on it? Just Knock, Knock Basilica.
Just knock inside the stick of rock, yeah.
And there's no symbol of a cross or anything.
No.
And
It can be done. Yeah. The symbols or logos can be done inside the rock also.
Wow.
We're very skilled staff here.
I gather that. And they're very secretive, but very skilled. And do they all, when they all start working for Crillies and Newry, do they sign a non-disclosure agreement like the people who have the Coke recipe in the United States?
Exactly, yeah, they sign disclosure on employment, yeah.
Okay. Now,
most of our staff are here quite a long time. We're here
brilliant.
20 years.
Oh, brilliant.
We're making the rock, yeah.
And is Knock Rock your biggest order? Your biggest customer?
I wouldn't say. We do a lot of rock for Bray, for Killarney, Port Rush, Donegal, all of those.
Ballycastle.
Sort of seaside resorts.
Up there at the weekend at the Lammas, yeah.
We do a lot of Yellow Man. We'd make Yellow Man for Ballycastle also.
Oh, you make Yellow Man, do you?
We do, yeah.
Would you explain to Southerners what Yellow Man is?
It's a stick of rock in a lump, basically, pretty much.
But it's more, one, isn't that more honeycomb?
Nice vanilla flavouring. No, the honeycomb is a separate product. Okay. Yellow Man's more like rock.
Okay.
Honeycomb's got serrated.
And is Yellow Man very popular in Northern Ireland, or is it popular? It's not popular down here.
Just Ballycastle. Ballycastle for the Lammas Fair is the only place that we really sell it. And obviously, it sells an ice cream. We make it for people for inclusion in ice cream.
So many different flavors would you buy into your plant?
Flavors wise, probably about 30 different flavors.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean from.
And how many people are employed in Crillies?
At the moment, there's 48 people here.
Wow. That's incredible. 48 families, David.
48 families. Yeah, we're in business 50 years next year.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah. And what...
But I probably started the business in 74.
Well, like, we be having... Well, hopefully you won't be having more elections, but we're due a good few elections in the next 24 months, maybe shorter. Would you do political party rocks? Would you put something in the centre of a political slogan in the middle of a rock?
We haven't done in the past. No, haven't done anything like that.
No. Have you been asked for anything unusual?
Nothing I think of, Sean. No, it's normally just the place names and holiday resorts. That would be where we'd mainly be going with.
And but you're the only one doing it. Now, how much, and you're saying you haven't been asked to rock the vote yet, you haven't been asked to do political party, political rock, but is it primarily sugar, David?
Sugar and glucose would be 98% of what's included in this, and you've got the flavors and colours.
And where do you source your sugar?
It's all sort of UK sugar, French sugar.
And has your business been affected by Brexit?
It has, of course, yes. It's just made things slightly more difficult.
I'm sorry to hear that. What do you mean, in shipping stuff to the south, or shipping stuff
across the sea? Yeah, just back and forth. Different ingredients come from different parts of the world, so obviously it just makes things a bit more difficult. But we've got over it. We're past it now. We can handle it. Yeah.
Well, you have no choice. You've got to get through it, haven't you? You've got to get through
it. That's it. Yeah,
And would the majority of your business be in the Republic or in Northern Ireland? I'm thinking of the border again, of course.
80% of our business is in the UK at the moment.
Oh, is it?
20% probably on the island of Ireland, yes.
And you do rock for Brighton and Blackpool and...
We don't. We only make rock for the island of Ireland.
Okay.
And again, that's everything for the UK. It'd be all of our traditional boiled sweets, like your mint humbugs, buttermints, Everton mints, pear drops, urban custard, that type of thing that we...
And are you the only one? Are you the only one that's manufacturing them?
In Ireland, yes, we're the only manufacturer of hard boiled sweets. In the UK, there's only maybe one or two others that are doing it at the moment.
And what about humbugs?
Humbugs, yeah, it's a huge line for us, yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay, and they're sold under the Crilly brand. And is your dad still alive? I hope he is. He's still alive and well.
He is, yes, he's still going strong, yeah.
And he always interested
in... He takes great interest in it still.
Brilliant. Which is a great way to be in any company, that people have a passion for it. But had he always got a passion for confectionery?
Well, his first job, he left Ireland. He went to he moved to Slough in the UK, and he worked in the Mars factory in Slough in the early 60s.
Yeah.
And from there, then he moved up into Blackpool. I think he took on the idea of possibly starting his own confectionery company. So he wanted to go and learn of how to go about that. So we moved up to Blackpool then and started working in a factory in Blackpool and done some courses and stuff there on it, and took the idea home with him in the early 70s then and started from there.
And when he started...
So back in the early 70s, it was only sticks of rock and red, the red dummies, things like that. That was all we'd done all year round. So in the winter time, we were making stock for the summer time. But obviously...
And who was when
the,
your dad...
Sort of season.
When your dad, Peter, started making the rock... Did he have employees?
Yeah, his two brothers, Malachy and Padraig, both worked here and still work here. Padraig still works here.
And the three of them, and I presume your mum as well, did everything.
Yeah, my mum started working with them as well. And they all did everything. They did anything from wrapping the rock to loading the van. That was, they done everything and selling. So there was a small group of people then that sort of grew as the years went on.
But how can, and obviously a brilliant reputation, you're there, as say, nearly 50 years. But how can you, like, the confectionery industry is Mars, Mondelez, that's Cadbury's, Nestle. They're the big beasts. How do you even get shelf space or shop space?
We try to be different, Joe. Yeah. We do things differently. We're obviously we're very personal touch as well with a family business. We find that a lot of the sort of supermarkets are happy dealing with us. And we provide just as good a service as what Mars or Mondelez or whatever these people supply, you know. We offer a better experience probably than they do, I think.
And you don't make chocolate sweets?
We don't, no. Okay. No, all boiled.
Why is that? Is it that the business is just too...
It's a different market altogether. We just stick to what we know, and we're trying to grow in it, trying to be the best boiled sweet manufacturer in the UK and possibly our aim.
Well, you're the best in Ireland, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, yeah, that's for sure.
Pear drops.
Yeah, pear drops.
Do you do cough sweets?
Cola cubes, pear drops.
Cough sweets.
We do, yeah. Cough's a huge line for us in Ireland, yeah. The black cough sweet is very popular.
When I used to work in Boylan's sweet shop in Ballyfermot when I was 11 years of age, get out the violin, one of the biggest sellers was the jar of cough drops, and someone had asked for a quarter pound, we weighed them out. And it was a lovely... What is the flavour in cough drops?
It's aniseed and licorice with a small bit of acid. You can buy our cough drops and lots of all the different sort of outlets in the south still. You can get them next to Eurogiant, the place they got to sell all of our cough drops in the Crillies brand.
In the Crillies brand? Okay.
In the Crillies brand, yeah.
Okay. And planned for the 50th?
We have. We're going to have some type of large celebration. I'm not sure exactly yet, but it'll be sort of around this time next year. We're going to try and maybe invite a lot of the ex staff and current staff to some sort of celebration.
Okay.
Do something.
Now you mentioned Knock Rock, David. Would that be one of your biggest sellers?
It's certainly in the top 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Gerard Smith contacted us. 51551 Joe at RT.ie, 0818 715 815. Gerard, you say, I was in Knock and I found the experience in Knock a bit unsettling because of the commercialisation.
Yeah. You contacted me, Joe. Let me get that in first. So, okay.
No bother,
Now, by chance, yesterday, I found myself in Knock. It was just literally spontaneously someone said, do you want to come to Knock?
Okay.
So I wanted to go and experience Knock.
Okay.
Now, you'll tell from my accent, it's a very thick northern accent. Yeah. I am from Cavan through and through.
Okay.
But I was, my parents had me when they went to Manchester. So Blackpool was kind of integral to my childhood.
Okay.
So
No one's perfect. Yes, go ahead.
I grew up with Blackpool. I grew up with Blackpool Rock. I grew up with the whole kind of like holiday vibe of Kiss Me Quick Hats all the commercial tact that goes with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, I just want to say, the first visceral response I had when I got out of the car onto that main strip in Knock was Blackpool. I was a kid again.
Okay.
I was in Blackpool, and it just kind of, there was this kind of disconnect from where I thought I was, which is a place of pilgrim, to where I felt I was, which was a place of fun.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the Knock Rock, I just had to smile and thought, my God, there's Knock Rock. You know, I am back in Blackpool, only it's a theme park of a different kind. So, that was just my...
But if you go in, I don't know whether you did, Jared, if you go into where the new basilica is, that incredible mosaic of the apparition, the biggest mosaic in these islands, I think, at this stage, made in just outside Venice by incredible artists. When you go into the basilica area, is it not quite serene in there?
Yeah. Now, let me say, I'm not kind of... forgive the pun, I'm knocking. You know, it's just that one part of it. And then when I did go to Mass,
And you're not...
That,
You're not, but you are knocking knock rock.
I'm knocking that part of knock that sells knock.
Yeah, but that's rock. What I mean. Okay.
The basilica. I went to mass in the basilica.
Lovely.
And I thought it was absolutely beautiful.
Serene.
And I'm glad you mentioned that mosaic, because that completely awed me.
Yeah.
And it awed me because it's based on a painting by P.J. Lynch.
Ah.
Who is a phenomenal artist, and two of his works hang here in Cavan Library, where I am at the moment.
And PJ, PJ is still flying and illustrating books. And,
yeah, absolutely,
an incredible artist.
He's superb.
Yeah.
So I had both sides. I enjoyed the mass. I really did. I enjoyed the basilica. I was awed by the mosaic. But then when I went back down the strip, I just thought, no, I'm back in Blackpool again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did that not give you a little buzz?
No, it didn't. I felt unsettled by it.
Okay.
Now, that's the only word I can use, unsettled. And I haven't really processed why at the minute. I think it's just the whole idea of, I just felt wonderfully spiritual in the basilica, then completely spiritually bereft when I was, I'll call it the strip, because it reminded, you know, like a very pared down kind of Blackpool strip. But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, David, you get your order from Knock. You don't discriminate, I presume.
No, of course not. Whoever wants the rock and knock can get it.
Well, Jared, let me come back to you. And Dave, you come in on this, Avianta. Have you ever been to Lourdes?
Are you asking me myself that?
Yes, Jared, yourself.
No. This is why I wanted to go to Knock, because it's the only place of pilgrimage that I've ever visited.
But I just wonder, when you go to Lourdes, can you get rock?
Well, if you look at the responses to the tweet, apparently Lourdes is the same but on a bigger scale. So apparently you can,
Okay. Stay with us, Jared and David. David is of Crilly Sweets. Rory O'Bourne. Rory is in Galway. You're not going to knock, knock, rock, are you?
No, we'd never knock, knock. We live up near Knock.
Okay.
we're big fans of Knock, Knock. We live in Galway, but at the time, myself and my wife were living in Salt Hill, and we got married up in Wicklow, where we organised our reception ourselves and everything to save money. And one of the ideas was to come up with something that we could give all our friends as a little keepsake instead of, you know, I don't know what people do, but what we do is always kind of a little bit original. So we kind of knocked around the idea of a stick of rock.
Okay.
Because I loved them. Good memories from being a kid. So what we did was, we're like, all we need is our name in the middle of them. Surely somebody must do that.
Yeah.
And we started to look, and I don't think it was too hard to find the makers of rock in Ireland, and it was Crilly's. Right. And we asked them, could they do it? They were so obliging. They did this, like, it was almost immediately. And I can remember, they said the smallest run we could do was like 200 or something. We had only 100 guests at our wedding.
Okay.
As you said, we were keeping it small. So we got the 200 and we gave some people two. Some people won, and we had a bunch left over for years.
And
we
think it's now, you're now married 20 years, Rory.
Yeah.
And Caroline. And by the way, was there any little, did you put a little symbol inside the rock with Rory and Caroline?
Well, we had a little wrapper. They had a wrapper on it for us, which was like to commemorate our
your wedding,
the day. But what they did was Rory and Caroline, and they had a heart in the middle, which is lovely because we used that as a logo for our not our business, but our passion at the moment is like giving people advice on how to live a fulfilling life. And that's our logo, is the same heart, and it's called Love Being Away.
You all romantic, you. Now, Rory, has anyone still got sticks of your wedding rock?
Well, we were actually moving house. We were in the process of selling our house pretty recently, which fell through And was very lucky it didn't fall through because our wonderful mother-in-law had moved in with us because she had terminal cancer. Okay. And we were looking for a house that would have enough space for all of us. But in the end, she didn't hang on long enough for the sale to happen.
Yeah.
So while we were moving all our stuff into storage for that process to happen, I did find some sticks of rock.
And David, how long... So you the sticks of rock you have are 20 years old. David, David, how would it taste, do you think?
It'll be gone soft at this stage, I think.
Well, yeah. David, you're wrong. It was pretty good.
If I leave my rock in the fridge, it won't go soft, will it?
It will, yeah. Eventually it goes soft. Yeah, it should go soft after about 2 or 3 years.
And what's the tell?
I think ours was stored in the attic and it was quite good.
Okay. And then, but what would it taste like, David? It still tastes lovely.
It tastes the same. Flavour will still be the same, yeah. Yeah. No issue. It's
a different... David, I'm just wondering, another way you mentioned the 15 or 20 different flavours you bring in, and you say Yellow Man, for example, is only sold up in Ballycastle. It's this week, the lamb is fair. Is there any other parts of the country that have a particular affection, say, over others, for cough drops or rum babas or humbugs or whatever?
Yeah, well, cough drops, for example, we can't sell cough drops in the northern side of Ireland here, so nobody knows what a cough drop up here is, but in the south of Ireland, then, cough drops are huge. Clove rock we can sell in the island of Ireland, we can't sell it in the UK. Nobody in the UK eats clove rock, but we love us over here.
I love clove. This is the white with the red centre.
Yeah, yeah.
Gorgeous, yeah. What's the flavour in that?
It's huge. Clove.
Oh,
oil.
Beautiful. And why can't you sell cough drops in Northern Ireland? Shock, horror.
It's just not a sweet up here. It's very strange.
People don't... It's not that it's banned or anything.
No. It's just people don't recognise it in the north.
Yeah.
But in the south, it's huge.
Okay. Because, you know, I presume, David, you're interested in the whole business. Tato always say, Tato, I know there's a different Tato up north as there is down south, but the Tato down south say that their smoky bacon flavour crisps, they only sell in volume west of the River Shannon, would you believe? Smoky bacon.
Right.
That's
We sell a sweet called butter nuggets in Cork, and we don't sell anywhere else in Ireland, only Cork, butter nuggets.
And what are they made of? Don't give it away now. Butter, I presume.
I think it's a butter flavoured boiled sweet. It's a special butter flavouring that we've been using for 50 years that is people of Cork know it well.
And is this a secret as well?
No, it's not a secret. No, it's just, it's a butter flavour that we've been using for quite a while. And
what are they called, David?
Butter nuggets.
And what, you buy them in a bag?
You buy them in a bag, yeah.
Individually wrapped?
They're unwrapped in a bag. Something similar to a cough drop, only in a brown colour.
Okay, and what shops? Is it Cork City or Cork County?
All over, but probably more so the whole of Munster, more Munster than Cork.
Butter nuggets.
But predominantly Cork.
You're great. Who comes up with these names? They're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. Where is Marion Basto? Marion, good afternoon. We're talking to the only rock maker in Ireland, the rock star Crillies. But you're not the only rock star not appearing at Electric Picnic. Are you selling in Electric Picnic?
No, I'm not doing it.
I'm sure.
David, sorry, my confusion. David, do you sell? Do you go around to the festivals?
We don't. No, we don't supply directly. But people who we supply with our sweets would be supplying the festivals. Yes.
Okay. Now, Marion, your line sounded very dodgy again, but let's start again. Yeah. Marion, contribution, please.
No, well, I remember rock years and years ago, and anyone that it was only now within Ireland, and any one of our relations or our neighbours or anything that were going to any part of Ireland, they would all bring us back a stick of rock. In those days, you might get a postcard as well.
Marion, it sounds like you're talking from one end, not you. You're talking from one end of a stick of rock to another, such as the quality of the line. Going to take a break, and we'll get a rock steady phone line after this. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Alex, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Joe.
And you've a sweet tooth, have you not?
Oh, well, I don't actually. That's the funny thing.
Okay.
I seldom eat sweets, and Crillies are about the only ones that I keep in my car.
Yes.
Always, so that I never manage. You know, I never run out of energy on a long
journey. You like the boiled sweets?
Yeah, the boiled aniseed ones. They're the ones to keep in your car because they kind of stop you feeling hungry. Something about the aniseed just dulls your stomach pain when you're hungry. So, yeah, they're really good.
Aniseed drops. And what shape are they, Alex?
Well, that's the problem. The shape is what I don't like about them. But they're massive, big, oblong, bullet kind of shape.
Oh, God.
But they're really kind of very big.
Yes.
And I find when I take one in my mouth, I don't know what to do with it. You can't suck it or bite it. Or it's kind of there and you're kind of worried you're going to choke.
Okay.
It's so big. You know, I'd prefer if they were a little bit smaller, actually. I really would.
So for the first time on Irish National Radio, we have the MD and the son of the founder, Peter Crilly. We have his son, David Crilly, on the line. What's the request you want to put to David, Alex, directly?
Yeah, well, David, honestly, I never thought I'd have the chance to ask you this, but wow, I'm going to take it. Please, will you consider changing your machine to make smaller drops come out? For me.
Yeah, we'll take it on board, don't worry.
And David, are you familiar with the product that Alex is referring to?
Yes.
And what are they called?
Is the aniseed twist, is it?
The aniseed twist.
I think so. Yep.
And are you extra generous in the size, David?
It's the mould that we use for that particular sweet. That's the size it is.
And the moulds are obviously
traditional
and gorgeous, and a lot of them handcrafted. But would your moulds be, I presume they're copper or whatever, are they many, many years old?
Some would be fairly old. Some could be up to 20 years old, and some might only be 4 or 5 years old. We've got them redone.
Yeah, hold on to them. So, have you had any other requests? Now, speak freely, David. Have you had any other requests from any other of your loyal customers asking you to reduce the size of the aniseed twists?
We've had lots of different requests, I got, yes. But
you're Alex, you're onto something. Alex, keep pushing here, Alex. There's movement.
I will, especially if it's only a mould you have to replace. You could easily do that.
Yeah, it's not a huge thing we can change the shape and size of sweets. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So you'd consider it, obviously,
absolutely.
Alex, you sound like a very, 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 very young woman, but I doubt if there's a greater achievement ahead of you in your illustrious life than to be able to say to your friends, when you whip out a bag of aniseed twists, you know, I got them changed. You know, I changed the shape of those to fit my mouth.
Indeed, Joe, you're right there. I'll be so proud of that achievement if it ever happens.
And then they say to you, how did you do that? And you said, because I have a big mouth and I rang Joe Duffy. And that's why David Crilly was on the... Okay, David is going to go away to his Willy Wonka factory in Newry with his father and his staff, his 50 staff, between them nearly 1,000 years of service, which is absolutely incredible to celebrate the 50th anniversary. Thank you, Alex. And I'm gagging now for an aniseed twist, so to speak. And I suspect from the way I talk, Alex, my mouth is bigger than yours. And
a
lot less attractive as well. Good to meet you, Margaret. Alex, stay there. David, more questions. Your whole business will be transformed in the next 20 minutes. It's 6 minutes to three. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
It began with an unusual request from one of our listeners saying they're getting married and is it possible, you know, these favours that one gives out at a wedding. They met at a holiday resort. Both of them loved the stick of rock, the holiday rock, with the name of the resort, be it knock, even though, as you heard earlier, some people were disconcerted by knock rock in a site of pilgrimage. But they met in a holiday spot and they want to know, could they get a stick of rock made with their names in it for their wedding? And we discovered that the only company in Ireland, and it looks like it's the only company in Ireland making boiled sweets, they're based in Newry. They're about to celebrate their 50th wedding and 50th anniversary. And they were set up by a man called Peter Crilly and his wife, and David Crilly. Peter's still hands-on, by the way, but David Crilly is the operational CEO, and lots of family still involved. Now, Mary, I just wonder, David, do you know of anyone who collects sticks of rock? Do you follow me?
Yeah. No, I can't say I do, Joe. It's not something I've come across before. No.
Well, yeah, okay. But when you produce, you obviously produce individual rock for, I know there's big orders, but not Killarney, Salt Hill, yeah. Tramore, Cortown. Do you keep one of each?
We would have all of the labels that go on the stick of rock on file, yeah. We would have a label of each.
Yeah, but do you keep an actual stick of rock with the name through it?
Not an actual, no. No,
we have to. David, you have to do that. Would you say, I'm talking about a museum, like. You're thinking it won't last.
It won't, it'll disintegrate eventually, yeah. It'll only last for a few years.
Okay. Mary O'Callaghan.
Going, she was down
there.
Are
you there, Mary?
Mary.
Mary, come out of the dining room and talk to Joe. You rang Joe. Are you there, Mary?
It's a PTO. Mary. Go outside the door when I was down there.
I hope that she doesn't say anything about the neighbours around. You know, Mary.
But then they have so many different.
Mary. Mary.
I'd go back there again. No worries,
since
I know that.
She's waiting on the phone. She's talking. I don't know where she wants to go back to, but she will go back again. Mary, talk to Joe. Mary. Mary.
Is
the phone is on her lap or something? Mary, in Cork. Okay, Mary rang in to say before her neighbour called in and they're yapping away. Mary called in to say that she loves the rock. It's very nostalgic. She sent it to her son in New Zealand. She's fond memories of bringing rock back from holidays within Ireland. And she still brings rock no matter where she sees or can buy it. And she said there's a sweet factory in Cork. You there, Mary?
George Watts, they'd make this seven and... Do you know films like that?
The Magnificent Seven are talking about now. Lenehan's Sweet Factory apparently still makes some boiled sweets in Cork. David, did you know that?
Yes, I've heard the name. Yeah, they make for. I think they've got a shop maybe in Cork, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a shop. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't make a sweet called a Magnificent Seven that Mary was talking about there, no.
No, I don't know.
There must be a trick to be able to attract someone who's holding the phone in their hand and yapping to someone else and they've forgotten that you're on the other line. Do you do a high-pitched whistle? Mary! Mary! Mary, what could be more interesting than talking to Joe on Lifeline? Where's John Kavanagh?
Joe, I think Mary is having a stick of rock there.
she's having a great yap with some rock in her life. Her neighbour, I suspect, who's called in, Winnie and Agnes Brown, and they're yapping away. They're having a great laugh. John, what's not rock the knock, not rock, knock.
I'll tell you one thing, Joe. I don't know where these people buy the rock, but I have a 5-year-old grandson, and every time he goes away, himself, his mother and father and his brother, I say, bring us back a stick of rock. And his mother said to me, Dad, please don't be saying that again because we cannot find a stick of rock. And they go the west of Ireland, everywhere, you know, and abroad. And he goes, literally has a meltdown because he can't find a stick of rock, you know.
Okay, well, I can't. Is Mary still there, Shane? Is she still there? She's still yapping away. Let me listen to her for a sec because she's still talking about movies. Mary! Are you there, Mary? Would someone knock into Mary O'Callaghan in Clare?
Mary, I wouldn't be home tomorrow. If you bring no charge for Friday, push them. Sure, you can appointment in the nursery in the morning.
Okay, Mary, we love you. That's Mary O'Callaghan Cork. We know she has an appointment on Friday. She loves the Magnificent Seven. Well, someone knock into her and tell her she was on live line and she was brilliant and she's so brilliant she will be getting a hand-painted card from me in recognition. David Creeley, good to meet him all good. David. And happy 50th.
Yes, sure.
And thanks for making thanks for making a programme out of nothing.
Thank you.
Well done and kind regards to you.
Thanks very much.
Great kind regards to you, to your father. And we will be going through Newry. I will tomorrow afternoon on my way to Belfast. Annette Egan, producer. Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.